Good morning, everybody. April 1st, 2024. We're starting a new week, a new day, a new quarter, all at the same time. Today, we're talking about landing Elon Musk as our special guest, as well as inventory levels and 20 years of Gmail. That was a lot in one intro.
It was a lot. A lot figuratively and literally.
Look, not only did we get through a five Saturday, five Friday month of March, which I know we're going to see some amazing results from when the numbers are finally in, but also we start today, new day, new week, new month, new quarter, all at the same time. Like, talk about a fresh start.
Talk about just, yeah, ready to go. You know, I will say this was interesting. So I got from a faithful listener, David Ortiz, I got a text on Friday afternoon. He was like, hey, watch out for all of these like massive upswings in new car delivery retails. There is a ton of final pay action happening on manufacturers that have fiscal year ends in March. And the final pay dollars were apparently on some of these models like way too good to pass up, and so dealers buying these cars into their loaner and rental inventory,
I'll take them all, right?
Could be I could have a part to play in the difference between, you know, what actual new cars were retailed or not. So, you know, we'll watch out for those numbers. I still think that March, just overall, just from everything, the sentiment that I'm hearing, was a rocking month.
Yeah. So, I think it was. Hey, like, we can't bury the lead story here. You probably saw it if you get our daily email. If you don't get it, you should go to asodu.com, get the daily email. It's so much fun. But today we announced that we have locked for our year in extravaganza a special guest host, Kyle, the one and only Elon Musk.
He's coming.
Or someday. It's April Fool's.
In the year end of some year.
I'm terrible at April Fool's jokes just because it's not.
We can't hang with it.
I can't.
Our team would be so disappointed in us.
I know. Well, if you read the email, I think the email this year is a very good tidy balance. No Elon Musk. Well, who knows? Who knows, actually? Maybe we gave ourselves till December to figure it out. Let's just start doing it.
Well, it's not out of the question.
Don't they on the internet somewhere, don't they call that manifesting? Just saying something and it happens?
Yeah. I don't think that's our vibe.
That's not how it works. That's how Dave Meltzer says it works either. No, but we won't be having Elon Musk. But what we will be having is a SoduCon. No April Fool's joke here. Yes. We are like 45 days away from a SoduCon, 46, 47, in the 40s. May 15th and 16th. In Baltimore, go to asoducon.com and check out, just click on speakers and look at the 50 plus speakers. These are no slouches. These are very innovative dealers, industry partners, practitioners sharing their best practices in a variety of sessions and workshops. Go to agenda, click agenda by stage or agenda by day, and just look through the practical things you're going to be learning, whether it comes to running a mobile service department, marketing in a cookie-less future. It comes to which sales methods are working best and how can you implement better practices in your store, BDC conversations, culture conversations, community conversations, and a very special keynote guest. Kyle, tell them about the keynote.
The keynote. We have two incredible keynote guests. The first night, we'll be ending with Brian Benstock with
hold on your butts,
just ready to go. He's fired up. Like,
he is fired up.
What I'm pumped about is every time I hear him now, he's like, he's just fired up, which I guess that's kind of like Brian Benstock au naturel, right?
Pretty much.
And then second night, ending the entire thing, is Will Gadara, the author of Unreasonable Hospitality. We got to have him on like a almost hour long podcast last week. Can't wait to release that because he's just as good, if not better, in person than the book or anything that we've watched.
He is. He's very contextual with his conversation. Yep. I think we're releasing that this week. So if you don't follow us on LinkedIn, it's a great place to follow us. We have a lot of conversations there, post a lot of content. Just follow us. So do More Than Cars. Search it up. It'll show up. And then you also have the podcasts and all that stuff. But hey, let's get into some news, should we?
Let's get to it.
Shall we? Maybe I should say. In a decisive stance against e-commerce giant Amazon and competing OEMs like Hyundai, Toyota president Jack Hollis has voiced a resolute no to selling cars on the Amazon platform at the recent Automotive Forum in New York last week. We were there. We didn't catch this session. Now I'm bummed about it. So basically, He emphasized the risk of bypassing their established dealership network and program. I hear the crowd applause. There was applause when he said this. And he called it a completely divergent path to go to Amazon and advocating for more direct engagement with the dealerships. So they rolled out, obviously, their platform, SmartPath, in 2019 and are working very hand-in-hand to make everything seamless. So it's SmartPath with Toyota, Monogram with Lexus. And, you know, they say, we're still developing this. We're safeguarding customer privacy by doing this. And he also said, and he quotes, for us to take the dealer's input and provide it so they have a tool to make it seamless for you, the customer, that to me, we are all in on. So a couple shots fired in that one.
That, well, that's the trick here, is that it's not like they have said, no, we just don't want that type of purchase behavior or that type of interaction. No, they desire that. They just see a different path forward. Now, they've spent billions of dollars on SmartPath and SmartPath service and Monogram. So that's probably one reason, right? Don't want to shelve that type of product. But the other reason is, I think that they get a lot better ability to have the dealer relationship integral into the technology process that the customer is a part of. So we'll see if they can get more broad adoption on that as they start to refine that process. But hey, look, massive applause, everybody standing O, all the OEMs going, see Toyota's doing it. I mean, can we just say,
well,
we love you, Jack.
Well, Jose Munoz was also on stage, not at the same time, but with a completely, obviously, different sentiment, talking about the Amazon purchase experience for Hyundai has been live for employees, and they've had a number of transactions, and he said they've gone super well, and everyone's happy. Also, a very different sentiment just in general around Jack Hollis and Jose Munoz. It's really a story of like two different paths in the automotive world, and in the end, we'll see who wins, who loses, who does good, who does bad. Not that it has to be win lose. But just everyone kind of chooses their path, no pun intended, and goes toward it.
Oh.
Speaking of choosing your path. Stop. Segway. Time. So inventory has been a super hot topic over the last 3 or 4 years, and questions still loom whether OEMs can learn from more stringent inventory levels or whether the flush, robust inventory levels of 2019 shall return. New vehicle inventory last month reached 2.8 million vehicles, which would equate a 78-day supply, according to Cox Automotive, up 1 million vehicles from where it was last year. Tight inventories during the pandemic obviously led to a significant increase in profits, and despite the potential benefits of lean inventory management, factors like dealer competition, manufacturing overcapacity, they suggest that the success may be hard to replicate, and we might be going back to where we were. We'll see. JD Power analyst reveals a direct correlation between inventory levels and dealer margins, highlighting profitability of operating with lower inventories. Here's a quote from Tyson Joymany. We got to catch up with him at the show last week. He said, we've learned as an industry during the pandemic that we can operate at lower inventory levels. So he says, we've learned we can operate that way.
That's the thing. That's what I don't think we've talked a little bit about this inventory thing. And I think that that's what we forget, is we have learned that we can do it. The article actually says that there's kind of this like difference between an intentional or unintentional scientific approach to inventory management. And we kind of had the unintentional approach to a very scientific, like a need to do it inventory management. And now like we are not reaping the benefits as much on that. You see things like Ford dramatically reducing the price of the Mach-E in order to start to drive down the inventory levels and the day supply last month. They were successful, but it was still a change in the incentives on a vehicle. And then you see, like most recently, the Model Y, Tesla raises prices again. So yep, they're not having the inventory levels. And so I just, that's, man, a moving target. As you're working with your OEMs, if you're a dealer or you're in the OEM seat, like figuring out as a dealer how to compete without inventory, because that's one of the questions is, can a dealer have competitive advantage over the dealer down the street? When
if they have less inventory.
Exactly.
I think it's tough. It's
crazy.
Right? Because if the guy down the street has more colors, more trim packages, even if the price available is higher today, and they have the one you want, I think it's very near impossible for a dealer to compete. I think this has to be regulated in tight partnership with the OEMs, but it kind of goes like this. You know, when people do the thing where they're like, hey, I'm going to narrow my, you know, my clothes closet, my wardrobe down to 30 pieces of clothing, right? All in.
Yep.
You can do it. And you find out, you're like, I guess I can do it, right? But the second you don't have to do it, you know, the other option is nice. And then the other option is nice. And I think it's just human nature. We were saying this back in the day. We're like, I don't think we're going to stay here. It's just, I think there are too many coordinating pieces that all have to agree to do it at the same time. And there's always going to be the one that's like, nah, we're going to push some more inventory. I don't know. We'll see. But we've learned we can do it. But will we do it? I guess is the question. We can, but will we? I could work out every day. But will I?
Well, speaking of everybody doing the same thing at the same time.
Segway.
Now, with over 1.2 billion users, only 20 years ago, Gmail actually burst onto the scene.
Only 20
burst onto the scene with an unbelievable offer. Get this, the original offer on April 1st, which was then also, get it, April Fool's Day,
but it was
Gmail real. Burst on the scene saying they were going to offer a massive 1 gigabyte of free storage,
which is
laughable these days. It was up from the typical 15 kilobytes of free storage with other email tools.
Yeah.
And so despite its massive success, Google is now facing kind of a turn of the tides of communication platforms in daily communication, with Slack, things like Slack and WhatsApp taking precedence. They obviously have upgraded a lot over the years with search, themes, smart replies. However, its essence is basically the same, and even its layout and format are essentially the same. The other key to Gmail and what Gmail means for users is it's also the access point for a ton of their services, including things like Slack, as it is as it's used as a single sign-on option. A quote from Ilya Brown, Google's VP of Gmail, said, "We definitely recognize that Gmail is almost like an identity. It's almost like it's a representative of you in the outside world. How do we help identity to evolve with Gmail users over time? We don't have a solution yet, but we've been thinking about it."
Yeah.
Interesting that like that's the move. It's like from email to identity.
Yeah. I mean, we think about that. I mean, your Gmail account, your Gmail email, even if you don't use it, is kind of your passkey into a lot of different things. It's your ticket and a lot things. It brings a lot of ease to your life. It'll be, you know, I think depending on how efficient and integrated AI gets, that may be a reason to have like the AI integrations with Gmail work with so many other things that it makes it more reasonable to like use it more, leverage it more. But I mean, yeah, 20 years of Gmail makes me feel older.
Do you remember like early Gmail? You would have been, were you in college or just out?
Maybe? I was
2004.
I was married. I was married for 3 years.
Gotcha.
And I started a business.
Well, I remember. So I'll put myself. I was in high school, and I remember the whole like, do you have any Gmail invitations left? Do you have any Gmail invitations left?
Was it an invitation
left?
Thing? Like
you had to get invited
to Gmail.
Did
they run the Clubhouse play in the beginning?
They did. It was wild.
Smart. Yeah. I didn't realize they ran that play. Now, can you imagine now needing an invite to a Google thing? Right. It's like everybody everywhere all at once. My first email account was a Juno account. And
yes,
I just remember
those two.
And you did you?
Yeah, Juno and AOL.
And if for all the kids out there, back in the day when you were in college, before you could have a phone in every room and before you had internet, we had these like 50-foot telephone cable, like literally like the little click in that you clicked into a phone.
Yep.
And you'd have to run it down the hallway, click it into the hall phone, click it into your computer, and you log in and you hear the doo 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 doo, right? And it downloads your email.
One person at a
and
time.
Upload your email. And you never sent attachments for crying out loud. That would take all day. But it was just like text, and you download and upload, and then you would unplug it so the next person could do it. And then you would read your email and then you would answer. There was no like clicking on hot links, as crazy as that is.
Just wild.
No Dropbox wild storage. Stuff. I don't know. 20 years of Gmail. Hey,
lots of things change in 20 years.
I know. Hats off to Gmail, though. I mean, where would we be without Gmail? Move the ball forward. Hey, like whatever you're doing on April 1st, this quarter, this week, this month, We hope that you care about some people. We hope that you run your business more efficiently. We really hope you come to a SotoCon.com.